Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Footmarks episode. I'm Warren and I'm joined by Jared. So this is the part two of the Red Bull trades that we promised. So Jared, what are your thoughts initially about what we're going to be discussing today?
I think the last episode was fun, right? Like, and it's actually one of the things that I really want to be involved in with cricket is like moving the conversations forward and coming up with new ways to talk about it. And I think it allowed us to talk about things in a way that we wouldn't normally be able to. It confused some people. There was, I think it's Fracked on our Discord channel was like, but you wouldn't trade Murali. And I'm like, yeah, but you might trade Murali in 1998 is what we're saying, because that's before Murali becomes Murali, right? That's the year he starts to transition into the other Murali. And you might not think that he's going to take 9 wickets a game or whatever it was for the next, 10 years from that point of view. So I think it's fascinating. I think it's a really good way to think about the game. So I had a lot of fun in that. But we also forgot things that we wanted to do trades for, right?
Yeah, so this, I think I was just thinking this could easily be like a 69 episode series with how many trades we keep thinking of, right? It's like immediately, the moment we were done, I think I immediately thought of like 5 we just missed in that range.
What I want to do is one day is like, because I'm trying to think of players I could get on to do this. So Damien Fleming, Brad Hodge, I'm trying to think who else is like tradable from their country.
Hodge or Hogg?
Hey? I think both of them are probably tradable, aren't they? Like at various times in their career.
Mm.
So like, can you actually get the player on and be like, okay, so the year is blah, 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 blah. Where should we trade you and for what? Like, I think it could be a lot of fun. So yeah, no, I really like this idea.
Yeah. So I think what also makes it tricky is like sometimes with these trades, because of nationalities, people get patriotic and attached to the players, right? So it's like, okay, so I think that makes the...
We're not making real trades even though. So you're getting angry because we're trading away, your national icon, it doesn't matter because that's not what this is about.
Yeah, exactly. In this scenario, we're just imagining them if they were just like franchises, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, not IPL franchises because IPL trades suck. I think we've established that.
This is an American trade without drafts, really, isn't it? Like, if you're being honest, that's what it is. It's, without salary cap or drafts. So it's a fantasy trade. I don't know why we've, you could now do this for like everything, right? Like if a country has, like maybe Australia doesn't need like Hugh Jackman, Guy Pearce at the same time, right? Like, can we trade that for like other actors from other countries? Like, I'm just saying, can you trade Marc Maron to England for another podcaster? I just think there's many different ways that we can go with this. I think we've opened up.
You could also trade politicians, right? How many women politicians in Afghanistan could be traded, drafted to other countries?
Oh, I really like. See what I'm saying? I think once you open this sort of mythical trade thing of like, for instance, I think the Bee Gees are higher rated in like America. Can you trade the Bee Gees? Do you even know who the Bee Gees are?
I've heard of them. I'm not familiar with them.
So the Bee Gees are an Australian band, right? And like, but they're not really that respected in Australia. By the way, they're actually born in somewhere else. So that weird island in Isle of Man is going to be really upset. But they're basically an Australian band. That's where they grow up, right? And it's like, but they never were really that big in Australia. So can you trade them for a band that's really big in Australia, like Creedence Clearwater Revival or something that maybe wasn't as big in another country? I'm just saying, I just think the possibilities of this are absolutely endless. And then you can start to trade around your friendship group, right? Like you could, we could start to trade the Good Areas team. That's all I'm saying. What will we get for CS? That's the question we've all been asking ourselves.
Yeah, so I'm still stuck on the politicians thing. I'm just thinking, like, what if one country is, like, very right, one country is left? Could you trade the right wing's left politicians all the way to the left country?
So,
and vice versa.
So by the end of her time, who was the New Zealand prime minister who left? Like, can you trade her to, like, a country who's, like, going to appreciate her for, like, 3 or 4 years before they turn on her? And, like, she ends up just being, like, a free agent politician who does, like, 3 or 4 years at each country? Do you know what I mean? And then she, I don't know, runs NATO? Or that wouldn't be NATO, but you know what I mean? Like,
So do you know how you say like Justin Langer is a very good coach for teams that are shit and need to be rebuilt?
Yeah.
Right? Is there a politician who's like that? Like who's very useful in countries that are in absolute turmoil, but like may not necessarily be great for long-term thinking, that sort of trait. Anyway, I think we should move on, right?
Yeah. I think that's it. The point being is that these mystical traits are awesome.
Yeah, also, we haven't even touched on something crazy, the crazier version of this trade, which is cross-era trades, right?
Yeah.
That's
we will do an episode on that once we get our heads around it. But like,
because the possibilities are endless for that.
Because we do want to try and trade Worn for Sobers. We're warning you all ahead of time. We're going to see if we can do Worn for Sobers.
Yeah. Or like what? Like Kapil Dev for like, I don't know, Muhammad Shamish, like a mesh out of all the Indian teamers at that point.
Kapil
Dev. That sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, so Kapil Dev for the third, fourth, fifth best seamer. No, for the fourth, fifth, sixth best seamer in the West Indies. Do you do it?
Which period is this? In the 70s and 80s?
If you're doing that era. I know that's not what you thought about.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, sure. Why not, right?
Because you lose your all-rounder, but you get a bowling attack, right? And now you've got spinners.
The thing is, right, with all-rounders in that era, they weren't actually used as fifth bowlers.
Yeah.
They were actually just used as
number eight
fourth bowlers to protect the shit wicketkeeper.
Yeah.
That's basically what they were. Because I remember looking at Imran, I think most of the time he was actually just the fourth bowler in his side, right? All of them. Which again, like such a stupid thing in hindsight. Why would you not use that to extend your bowling attack? Like why would you limit yourself, right? Especially in an era where you don't have a great bowling attack.
Yeah. Where are we starting? Some of these were comments on the videos, right?
Yes, correct. Okay, this is not right. So yeah, was it Mingus Clark, I think, was the one of the people who replied.
Friend of the show, Mingus Clark.
A friend of the club. So he's got a three-team trade for us. So he's saying in 1980, right, he's saying West Indies get Ian Botham and Abdul Qadir. So Pakistan get Colin Croft, Franklin Stevenson, Alvin Kalicharan, Derek Randall, and England will get Lawrence Rowe, Collis King, Sylvester Clark, Eldon Baptiste, and Zarir Abbas. So I think this is the backdrop of it. So yeah, I'm confused. Sorry, and let me just figure out who's giving up what. So Pakistan are giving up Abdul Qadir.
Yes.
And Zarir Abbas.
Yes.
England's giving up both of them.
Yep. And the West Indies are giving up Croft, Stevenson, Kalicharan, Rowe, Collis King, Sylvester Clark, Eldon Baptiste. But I'm taking, if I'm the West Indies, I mean, if we're just doing this off the top of our head, West Indies.
This is such a like, there's such a good trade for West Indies. He's just trading all the bench players at that point.
They're basically
to fix the two weaknesses they have, right? Yeah.
They're just trading their depth for the best spinner in the world and the best all-rounder in the world. And I don't mean that. It might have been players who were better all-rounders, but the most all-rounder, if that makes sense, in both of them. And we talked about that on a previous video.
At his peak as well, right? Both of them at his absolute height of his powers.
Also, both of them was pretty crap against the West Indies, right? So he doesn't have to worry about playing against the West Indies anymore, right? I'm not sure the world was ready for Viv Richards and Ian Botham to be in the same side internationally. I think even for Somerset, that caused issues. But if I'm the West Indies, that's just a yes, right?
Yeah. So if you're Pakistan, I think I'm also, I think the Pakistan side, I think you.
So they're losing Zahir Abbas, right? In 1980.
He's 32, right?
So is he about to go? When does he go on his big tear? That's the question I have with Zahir Abbas. Is he about to go
he already go on that tear?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because he goes on a period of time where he just makes a lot of runs, right? And then he disappears. Not disappears, but because he was called the.
Exactly this period. This is the exact period he goes nuts.
And how old is he? Do we know in 1980?
So if he's 32 in 1980, then he would be, like he plays for 4 or 5 years after that. So he retires about 36, 37.
So,
right? So you're getting.
So Pakistan.
That almost would be Mike Hussey-esque pick for England in that sense.
So Pakistan's losing a 32-year-old batter, right? And they're losing their best spinner. And they've got Iqbal Kasim. Is it Iqbal Kasim? Is that the guy I'm thinking of?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So they're losing their best spinner, but their second spinner is, what's his record, Iqbal, that stage?
He averages 24 in the 80s.
Right. So Iqbal Kasim is absolutely fine. Maybe you struggle a little bit more when you're away, right, without Abdul Qadir, because he's a wrist spinner. So they get back Colin Croft, who at that stage hasn't gone on his rebel tours, I think. So that's a fringe frontliner. Franklin Stevenson, who, if he goes to Pakistan, does he actually still invent the slower ball, Varun? That's an episode for another day. Elvin Kalicharan, who's 30. So you're exchanging Zahir Abbas for Elvin Kalicharan, right? And you're getting Derek Randall. So you're getting two frontline seamers. You're exchanging one older batter for another older batter. I'd have to go through Elvin Kalicharan's record, which I will, because that's the sort of person I am. Let me bring up Elvin's record. Elvin's a great name, by the way, too. So he makes 4,000 runs, an average of 44.
I feel like every time I think of Elvin, I think of Elvin and the Chipmunks.
And that you're right to do so. Right, so we need to see where he makes his runs. He averages 41 in Australia, 30 in England, 58 in India, 47 in Pakistan. Okay, so it's my worry with him, I'm basically getting another Asian-style batter. He doesn't make runs in Australia, doesn't make a ton of runs in Australia. He's fine in Australia. Doesn't make runs in England, doesn't make runs in New Zealand. I'm not sure if I'm Pakistan, that's what I want. So I would have to find another batter, I think, rather than him.
Hmm.
That's my only concern there, right? There's can I give you a player? Let me see if I can bring him up. Basil Shotgun Williams. Have you ever heard of Basil Shotgun Williams?
Basil Shotgun. No, I have not.
Basil Shotgun Williams averages 36 in first class cricket. He was born in 1949, so he's 31. Maybe he's not quite good enough. Plays seven test matches. Played seven test matches, averaged 39 with 200s. Hey, I reckon, I think there's someone, if it's not Basil Shotgun Williams, and I am going to say his full name every time, Byron. I think there's someone else. I don't think I take Calatrayan, not because I don't think he's a better player than Shotgun Williams, but I want someone specifically who can handle fast bowling. If that's the player, do you know what I mean? I don't need another Asian specialist. That's how I'm thinking about it. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So I think that makes sense. Also, just looking at Derek Randall. So sorry, I should have mentioned. So England leave out Botham and Randall, right?
Yes,
in
right.
That trade. Sorry, sorry, I forgot to mention that. Okay, just looking at his record, he doesn't pop for me, Jared. I'll be honest.
Yeah, Derek Randall's a bit of a weird cricketer, right? Like he's very well respected. He can, you know, and he's a brilliant fielder. But
about your Asian team, I think he only makes runs outside of Asia. So it might actually work out quite well for Pakistan in that sense.
So I think I'm happy with that. There's one other player that I also think is worth having a look at for Pakistan in this, who also would have been available. It's a guy called Richard Austin, who I don't know. I'm trying to think of how old he would have been at that stage. I reckon he's about 26. Well, he's 1954 and we're 1980, right? He's 26. Richard Austin bowled for the West Indies, wicket kept for the West Indies, and was a batter. He's one of the most all-round players of all time. He has a first-class batting average of 33, only in 38 games. Didn't get picked a lot, but could give them bowling as well. I think I take him over Calatrayan just because I get someone back a little bit younger. And then if I've got him and Randall, I've got a little bit, I've got brilliant fielding, a little bit of flexibility with all rounders and everything else. So I think Calatrayan stays where he is. I think they could train Calatrayan to someone else, by the way, but I just don't think he's the ideal situation for Pakistan. Okay, so they get two frontline bowlers. They get either Richard Austin or Basil Shotgun Williams, and they get Derek Randall. So they get a little, they strengthen their batting and they get two genuine fast bowlers. And they have at that stage Sarfraz Nawaz and they have Imran Khan. So that means their bowling attack is pretty good. They've still got Kazim and they've got a little bit of all-rounder. Can Franklin Stevenson bat as well?
I'm not sure.
I think he can. I'm pretty sure he can certainly hold a bat. Let's have a look at him. Batting average.
Yeah, first class.
Yeah, 12 first class hundreds, right? So,
yeah, solid.
So that gives them... That gives them in Austin and Stevenson, you get a little bit of all-rounderness. In Derek Randall probably gives them their best fielder, let's be honest. they've got Croft and Imran as genuine fast bowlers.
Yep.
I think that's a yes. You're only losing an older batter.
As well, right?
What was that? Sorry?
In mid-80s, if you add Wasim to this, then you basically might have a bowling attack that threatens West Indies at their best. In that era.
And they were already a threat to the West Indies, right? So my question is does this make them a better team to beat the West Indies? The only issue is they're also making the West Indies stronger. So you could argue they don't make the trade because it helps the West Indies, but they were almost rated as highly as the West Indies, just not as long, only for little brief moments. I think this gives them... I think my changes to this give them a little bit extra that gives them a chance to be able to do that. So I'm saying Pakistan, say yes. Okay, so England. I love the idea that we're trading away both of them. It's just absolutely brilliant.
I think England, I think if I'm England, I'm the unhappiest sort of three, because I think there's too many old players for England, for a young Botham.
So England's big issue, and you and I have looked at this before, is that but they basically only had two bowlers, right? They had Botham and they have Willis. Mike Hendrick is sort of aging out by that stage, and they never really have a third bowler, do they, consistently, right? So if you get Sylvester Clark and Eldon Baptiste, that means you have Bob Willis, Sylvester Clark, Eldon Baptiste. Is that enough to give you a world-class bowling attack at that point, right? And I think the answer...
It's good enough to give you a good bowling attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the answer is that's a pretty good bowling attack, but you do lose your all-around nature with it. Zahir Abbas, England do like older batters, right? And what's Collis... The problem is Lawrence Rowe's done by then. I don't think you can throw Lawrence Rowe in. So can we give Elvin Kalacharan instead of Lawrence Rowe to England?
Yeah, but then you just say he doesn't make any runs outside of Asia. But would England want that in their team? They already have a lot of people who are not making any runs.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
No, but then England, but when England go to Asia and the West Indies, they've got a gun bat, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you know what I mean? So if you've got, so England's best bat, so they've got Gower, right? They've got Gatting, they've got Gooch. If you add to that Elvin and Kalacharan, Kalacharan and Collis King, right?
Hmm.
Is that not suddenly a pretty good, solid bowling batting lineup?
Yeah, it can't be worse than what they had.
I think they've upgraded their bowling and their batting here while losing both of them, right? Let's just have a look at Collis King. So Collis King averages 38 with 14 first-class hundreds, and in Test cricket, he only plays 9 games and averages 32. We don't know a lot about him. But if he's the throw-in, my guess is, looking at his record... and knowing a little bit about him as an overall player, that he's good enough to be a fringe batter at worst, right? And so that's still an upgrade because they don't have a lot of good fringe batting in that era either.
That's true, yeah.
So let's say Collis King's their sixth best batter. You've upgraded their batting and you've upgraded their bowling in this trade, haven't you? Because you've got Zahir Abbas, you've got Kalacharan, and you've got Collis King. Maybe he's their seventh best batter then. And you've got three frontline bowlers. You still don't. I think England still need to make another trade to make it to the West Indies, Pakistan level. I think
I want another young batter if I'm England. I need someone in that 27 age range.
You know what they need, which probably isn't available now that Abdul Qadir's gone. But you need the spinner, right?
Yes, I was just going to ask. Was Underwood around or was he retired by then?
Underwood's pretty much finished, I think, by that point. Do you know who you want?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know how weird we want to get with our trades here. Varun, but what
you always want to get weird.
But what you want is John Traycos.
I have no idea who that is.
John Traycos he played for South Africa in the 1970s, but was also qualified to play for Zimbabwe, right? So he comes back in the early 1980s to play for Zimbabwe, but they're not a test nation, right? So technically you can't trade for him under our situation because apartheid rules would probably still stop you.
Then have to be something you hate, which would be all cash trade.
Yeah. But if you are, is there something that you can offer Zimbabwe, but they're not going to play Test cricket till 92? Because that's what you want. I think if you're England, if you could add Traycos to this, and you've got...
For the sake of this video, I'll disallow that.
You're disallowing it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll forbid that trade.
So England...
No ban teams.
I think we can make a claim that if you lose both them, England get better with batting and better with bowling here. But they still don't catch West Indies or Pakistan. So do they still make that trade is my question. Probably yes.
I think so. Were they not already probably the worst team in the 80s?
Well, they beat Australia in the 80s, don't they? But yeah, Australia and England are pretty bad at various times in the 80s.
Yeah, until Sri Lanka come. But I think I'll forgive Sri Lanka. Just starting.
Well, we're not too worried about Sri Lanka at that stage. Yeah. Sri Lanka might be the team to make the secondary, to find a better spinner than Embry and Edmonds, by the way. You go to them and you say, do you just need a seamer, right? Like a taller, stronger seamer or a, you know, whatever, a non-Asian seamer. Because they had a couple of like little swingy sort of Bhuvi Kumar type bowlers, Sri Lanka. Maybe you can give them something a little bit more like not a, you know, so then you're matching your Asian seamers with your non-Asian seamers for when they travel. Or you give them Derek Pringle. Derek Pringle for the best, second best spinner in Sri Lanka, whoever that was in 1980. But they're not a test nation either in 1980, by the way.
When does Sri Lanka come in? 85, 87?
83 is their first test, isn't it? Or is it 82 their first test?
83 is not bad. Yeah. Like, I think it makes sense. So 87, they beat Pakistan, right, in a test match?
Yeah, you might be right. I'm trying to think back. Okay, we're getting distracted here.
Yes, we are. Overall, I think a pretty solid trade, I think.
I think England make this trade. I think their batting is better and their bowling is better if they do this. I think you're right. There's probably an argument for they need another younger batter, right? And we're not really sorting that out. The other thing is how does England think about both of them in 1980, right?
Like, he's a golden boy, is he not? So they're thinking easily. They'll be thinking he can easily dominate 10 years.
So is Mingus making this trade on the thought that Botham's not going to be as good, right? Because do you make this? Because England don't know that they don't have any young batters coming through. They don't know that Alan Lamb's going to bat in Test cricket and average 32 for most of the 80s, right? They are thinking that they're going to have good players coming through. So the question is, are you trying to make your team good for the next 4 to 5 years because you think that you do actually have some talent around? Or are you trying to build for the next 10 years? Because I'm not sure our plan helps them for the next 10 years with the ages of the players. So unless you can make the trade, right, knowing that you can beat West Indies and Pakistan, I think if I'm England, I say no, and I hope that in 5 years' time we have players good enough to join both them so we can beat West Indies and Pakistan.
Yeah,
right?
Also, the main issue with this trade is if you're England is you're not actually weakening the West Indies much.
No.
Like Pakistan, at least you're weakening Pakistan a bit. West Indies basically just don't care, right? It's what we were doing with Australia in the last episode. They were like, okay, cool, just trade away all our backups. We don't care.
Yeah. And that's the other big issue with any of these.
If I'm England, if you're England, would you ask West Indies to throw in a front liner?
So Colin Croft's already moving. It's 1980. So it's holding Organa. Or do you want a batter?
I'm just saying anyone, just frontline. Let's say frontline batter. Who would be the hot prospects for frontline batting in that period? Would England want like a Haynes, maybe?
I don't think Haynes. How old is Haynes by that stage? He's probably youngish, isn't he?
Yeah.
Richie Richardson's 18. Is that too young?
Richie Richardson.
Because if you saw,
I wouldn't mind.
So if you saw an 18-year-old Richie Richardson, you'd want him.
That's fair. What would they think? What was the thought process in that era about Richie Richardson? Is it like, okay, we think he's going
Everyone thought he was going to be the next Viv.
Okay, so that's probably I wouldn't mind that if I'm West Indies.
I'm not sure.
You're taking a young talent away.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe not as a, like a own thing, like a throwaway. Like, give me Richardson, right? I need something else from the West Indies to weaken them.
How old's Larry Gomes?
I actually have no idea.
Oh, actually, do you know the guy I could tell you the guy you get, actually. I just want to check his age before I give it to you. You get Gus Logie because you can't get Richie Richardson. I just don't think the West Indies are that dumb. But you give away, I think you give away Gus Logie. Do you know much about him?
No, I think I've heard of him only from you at some point.
Yeah, so he averages about 36 in Test cricket, which is still well above most of the England players were in the same era. Incredible short leg fielder. I think you could probably get a Gus Logie into that trade if you wanted to. Because if you're the West Indies, you're probably not, you're not giving away Richie Richardson. And then the other one is, as I said before, it depends on what Larry Gomes' age is at that stage. Right?
Sorry, I was just looking at Botham's record up until 1979. He was averaging in 22 test matches. He made 1,068 runs with a batting average of 36.82. Took 118 wickets at 19.27 up to that point.
Yeah.
If you're England, you're thinking, if you get anywhere close to that for 10 years, you'd want the heck of a lot in return, right?
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. That's why I think if you're England, you ask for Richie Richardson.
That's the other thing is, what would West Indies offer for that both of them at that point if they think they will get that as well for the next 10 years?
Exactly. So
would you, if you're West Indies, would you not be willing to throw over anything and everything to get that into your team?
Yeah. So if you're the West Indies, you're thinking your batting's pretty set for the 80s. Can you then go, we'll throw away Richie Richardson into that trade? You've also got, there's also another cricketer here. Oh my God. Bernard Julian. So the West Indies, by 1980, have basically decided they're not going to use him anymore. He's 30. He's a left arm or seam bowling all-rounder who averaged 30 in the bat and 37 with the ball. But I think he's really more of a bowler. He just overperformed a little bit in Test cricket with the bat and underperformed with the ball a little bit in Test cricket. But you get an all-rounder back if you're England as well then. And maybe he's too old, but he's a good cricketer. Bernard Julian was a really, really good cricketer. In first-class cricket, he averages 28 with the ball with almost 500 wickets and 6,000 runs at 24 with the bat with 300s. Like, gives them a little bit of all-roundedness back as well. Yeah, but I think you're right. I think ultimately, if I'm England, I need Richie Richardson in this trade. And then it's up to West Indies how desperate they are for him, both of them. I think the Pakistan side is fine on this trade.
I think that'd be sorted, right?
Would you take Gus Logie?
I need to look at his record in detail.
Yeah.
So what, he averaged 36 with the bat in Test cricket?
In the same era when most England players don't average 36, right? So, but
I've got the same first class and Test record. That's fun.
He's a good player, Gus Logie. A very solid player.
Okay, so he's only 20 in the 80s.
He's 20. That's what I mean. So you can make the call. But I think if I'm England, I ask for Richie Richardson. Yeah. Or maybe what I say is we'll have Bernard Julian and Gus Logie. So England then end up with Kalacharan, Colas King, Logie, Zahir Abbas.
They're still getting Sylvester and Eldon Baptiste.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I like it. I think I prefer this now.
I think that's what I need if I'm England. And then I think to myself, we can actually compete. I'm not sure they're right. But I think they take that at that point, right? Because that just makes their team so much stronger. You know, they don't have left arm bowlers, so now they've got two front line seamers and a left arm seamer as their backup. I think that's where I go. Thank you very much, Dominguez. That was a good one.
That was a good trade. So I think this is probably like not, I don't know, this is more simple compared to what we just said. So he's
God, I hope so.
I'm trying to figure out how to say it. Is it Bell H. Devma?
Okay. I should also say that I know a lot of people listen to these on audio. These are probably the ones you do want to seek out on video. Because even Varun was telling me the trades the other day, I was trying to write them down and I couldn't catch up. All right. So give me this one. 2015.
So in 2015, India get Matt Henry, Jimmy Neesham and Colin de Grandom. Right. New Zealand get KL Rahul and Kuldeep Yadav. Right. He's saying, from a New Zealand perspective, I'd rather not give up both all-rounders, but to fix the two main issues, opening and spin, I think it's worth it. So Dhoni gets two seam bowling all-rounders that he's obsessed with, plus Henry, who won't play regular Test cricket for 6 more years with Bolt and Saudi.
Yeah.
Right. Bonuses, if New Zealand also threw in Duffy and Nicholas at that point, could they get Shreyas back too? And he also suggests another trade, which is Simon Harmer for Will Young in about 2017.
Well, let's get to that one. Let's do the first one. Okay. I don't think India wants Nichols, do they?
Nah, I wouldn't think so.
I don't think in 2015 you're getting Duffy and Nichols is getting you a Shreyas Iyer. He was averaging about 60 in first class cricket at that point, wasn't he? So I think the bonus is gone. I don't think you're getting the bonus, all right? But let's look at the main part of this, okay? So Matt Henry, Jimmy Neesham, and Colin de Grandhomme go to MS Dhoni, and Kuldeep Yadav, and...
Also, Van in 2015, because Kohli takes over the captaincy then.
Okay. So Matt Henry's a huge... If I'm India, I'm like, if I can get Matt Henry, I really like that. But am I too high on KL Rahul at that point, if I'm India?
What did KL Rahul do in 2015? So he gets 100 in Australia. And I don't think he plays much after that.
He's also a wicket keeper.
He's also a wicket keeper.
Like, he gives you flexibility, doesn't he? Right?
Yeah, but how much, like, I wonder how much they rated him as a red ball batter at that point.
Well, that's what I mean. That's the question yeah. I think you have to answer. He only played five tests by 2015, and he'd made 200s, yes. But he was averaging 30.
Mm.
Who's Henry getting partnered with? Mohammed Shami? Who's the, Ishat Sharma?
Shami would be the Umesh Yadav.
Can you imagine having...
It works well for that team.
Can you imagine having to go up against a new baller, Mohammed Shami and Matt Henry? That's nasty.
How good was Henry in 2015?
Well, he was terrible. He had one of the worst starts in Test cricket history ever, but he was bowling first change.
Yes. Right?
Like...
He gets the new ball with this too. You also have Bhuvie at that point.
Yeah, Bhuvie. So he's a much better test bowler than Bhuvie.
Yeah, definitely.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
So I was just looking at it. So in the first class cricket, KL averaged over 15, 2013, 14 and 15. So they probably are like, okay, we think he could be a prospective batter.
Okay, so you're losing him.
India also have Murali Vijayan, Shikhar Dhawan opening. I don't know how much they rated Vijay highly, I think, around that period. Not sure about Shikhar Dhawan. They kept swapping KL Rahul and Shikhar Dhawan for a brief window. It's like when KL got injured, Shikhar comes in as well and it just stays. That's what happened for a while. So it's an interesting trade. The question is because I don't know how highly would India have rated Kuldeep Yadav at that point as well.
So I think if it's me, I would have traded Kuldeep Yadav away. So when does he make his debut? Yes. 2016.
The BGT.
Yeah. So I'm probably thinking we can cover him, we'll have other spinners, and I'm going to trade him away because most left-arm wrist spinners actually fall apart and usually don't make it.
Yes.
Right? So in my mind, I'm thinking, and he did, that actually happened to him. He just happened to come back even better, which is crazy. So I think if that's the case, I'm pretty confident, actually, that I can get rid of Kuldeep. I'm probably asking... If I can just do Kuldeep for, I
don't know.
Okay. So India has a great new ball bowling attack in this, and they have flexibility when they go on the road to use
Nishan. So I was just looking at Kuldeep's record, sorry.
Yeah.
He averages, so he in 2015, he plays 8 first-class games and averages 46 with the ball. So probably they may not have rated him as highly at that point. India or with New Zealand one, and that's the thing.
Yeah, get that.
Let's say New Zealand, there's a New Zealand scout who's like, okay, even though he's not cracked first class cricket yet, we think he could be really good. So let's keep him.
I think if you're New Zealand, though, you're pretty happy with KL Rahul, aren't you? In 2015?
Very good buy, I think.
Look at who they have opening the batting. Is that not the Guptill, Jeet Ravel kind of period? BJ Watling comes in and does it briefly. Like, that's such a massive upgrade. And then Matt Henry isn't really in their plans, I don't think, at that stage. And then
I honestly think at that point, India could get all three of them just for KL Rahul. I don't even think they need to throw Kuldeep Yadav in.
I reckon if I'm New Zealand, though, I'm saying you're taking two all-rounders, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's Doug Bracewell doing in 2015? You've got to be pretty confident in Doug Bracewell in 2015.
He was around in 2015, fair.
I reckon I'm putting Bracewell into this trade rather than Nisham or Colin de Grandhomme. But that's fine. That's different. I think if I'm New Zealand, I'm asking for another spinner. I'm asking for two young spinners. In case Kuldeep doesn't come off.
Okay.
You want two all-rounders? Fine. I want two young spinners. And then it's almost a straight swap of Henry for KL on the back end of that.
Would India do it? Because if I'm India, like, we rate kale, you would rate kale very highly in 2015, right? That, like, that would be the time you would buy the kale stock. Would you? I think I reckon India could get Henry and maybe one of the all-rounders if they really are, like, if they really push for it, right? For kale rather, quite easily. I don't think they'd get two all-rounders, maybe, for in the Pisima. That's probably too much for just kale.
I think it's too much, mate. I think because at that stage, you're saying our flexibility is limited over the next couple of years. And we also don't know which one of these guys is going to come off.
They do Henry and Neesham for KL.
I'd rather do Henry and Bracewell. Henry and Neesham for KL, I would do that. Because I've still got CDG and I've got Bracewell then, or Neesham then.
Yes.
But you do want the spinner too, don't you?
Would you want this? You would want the spinner. So I'm just wondering. Yeah, maybe they could get away with this trade in that case, right? Because India might not rate Kuldeep that highly.
So if you're India, are you saying no to the second young spinner who's no one knows? I'm just picking a random spinner who's good in India, who's maybe had a couple of years, only because Kuldeep's averaging 46, according to you.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think that's fair then. I think they'd be like, okay.
We think if I'm India, I'm saying you can have a...
But he's not established, right?
You can have a specialist young spinner. You can't have an all-rounder.
Yes.
I'm not giving you Akshar, right? Or...
Yeah. Akshar or like any of those.
There's another guy
I'm thinking. There's probably an all-rounder in India you could get at that point anyway, so yeah.
How old's Murali Kartik in 2015?
I'm assuming he'd be done by then, though.
Can you throw Pragyan Oja in and just be like, do you want him?
How old is Jalit Saxena in 2015?
I'm trying to think of something. Who was the, there was a leg spinner who had polio in his kid and he has a lazy eye. Rahul someone?
Sharma?
Was it Rahul Sharma? Yeah, I think it is, isn't it? What's he doing in 2015? He had a comeback, didn't he?
Did he have a comeback in 2015?
Oh, no, I don't know if it was in 2015.
Why do I have no recollection? I remember him in 2011 for Pune.
Maybe he didn't have a comeback. But you know what I mean? There must be some, you know...
So Jalit Saxena was 29 in 2015.
Rahul Sharma's 30. He's maybe a bit old.
Mm. In that case, like, are you interested in Jalit Saxena, Jared, in 2015?
Yeah. If I'm New Zealand, what's his first class record like overall?
I think it's 33 with the bat or something like that. I'm just checking. I'm just going to see what he was at.
I still think I'm more interested in taking a second spinner to make sure that one of the Indian spinners works for me.
Okay, so at 2015, Jalit Saxena had played 81 first-class games, batting average of 38, bowling average of 30.
Yeah, I'll probably take him. If he's being offered, but if I'm India, I'm not offering that. I'm offering a specialist spinner.
I don't know if he's in India's plans at that point. So that's why I'm like, I could see that.
You're probably right, but...
You could do a seam-boring around a swap at that
point. Who is the other Indian off-spinner who ends up playing against... he was an all-rounder, off-spinner who bowled.
Jayant Yadav?
Yeah. Mm. Is he on the table as well? I don't know.
How old would he be in 2015? 24, I would want to say.
I want a secondary spinner. I don't even want someone that good, honestly, mate. I just want someone who's a project so that in case Kuldeep doesn't come off. If I'm going to give you two all-rounders.
India probably could afford a few then.
That's what I mean. I would just give second specialist spinner. If I'm India, I say yes to that because now I have a great bowling attack and I have something for when I travel overseas. And if I'm New Zealand, I have two spin prospects and I also have, you know, an opening batter in a country that is allergic to making them. Done. Oh, what's the Simon Harmer one? Okay, so Simon Harmer.
For Will Young in 2017.
2017.
That's because I think the argument is New Zealand aren't using Will Young much because they have a solid batting lineup by then. South Africa are just about to enter the Keegan Peterson era. So
which is only good areas. They also don't use Simon Harmer much. A phrase like that.
Yes. And then
so they've
South
got,
Africa are not using Simon Harmer in that period, right?
They've got Zane Peat as well.
Harmer is eligible in that period. That's what he's saying.
Granted, Harmer was always eligible. Yeah. Okay. I'm taking that. I think I'm taking that for both sides. Who's the best? Who's New Zealand doesn't have a spinner in 2017, do they? Is Jeetan Patel?
Sandler's not very good.
Yeah.
At that point.
So if Jeetan Patel is available and playing, which I think by then he's finished anyway, like he's probably a bowling coach by then, maybe I wouldn't take this. But otherwise, I'm like, Harmer's proved himself outside of Asian conditions specifically. We can get that. And then Will Young is always going to be a backup batter, I think, in our mind, is the way they would have been thinking about that. So, yeah, I'm taking that. Simon Harmer for Will Young in 2017. Stamped. Both teams are taking that.
Let's go. So, Upamanyu Sengupta. Okay. So, Upamanyu Sengupta says, India gave Harbhajan in 2001 for Intini and Hayward. And so the second trade would be Australia in 2008-9 give Haran, Chris Rogers.
Stop doing that. Stop doing second trades. We need one trade. So India.
Okay, let's do the first one.
India is getting Antini
and Hayward for Harbhajan in 2001.
So South Africa. Are South Africa willing to give them both up?
That's my question as well. I don't know if they would give both of them up. One of them is interesting. I think Harbhajan for Antini is an interesting conversation.
It is, isn't it? So you're basically giving away your second spinner for the other team's third seamer.
Yes.
It doesn't really change South Africa all that much. But I don't know if you're giving up two seamers.
Yeah, two seamers, I think it would be way too much. Maybe unless, the question would be India would be very high on Harbhajan after the, I'm assuming this is after the BGT in 2001, where he takes like 30 wickets in three games. If it's just after that, if I'm India, I'd be like, okay, cool. This guy just won a series, right? We want something else. We want two seamers for him if you want him. If that's what India are thinking at that point.
He's pretty young then too, isn't he?
He's very young. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I do this if I'm South Africa. I worry a little bit. So what year is this? This is 2001. So what we have to do is just have a look at their depth at that point. Because taking
I'm just going to simplify and say this is after the BGT, because otherwise I don't think you would take Harbhajan.
Yeah, you're also not you're not doing both then, are you? I don't think the trade makes sense. Okay, so we're looking at South Africa's bowling from what, 2000 to 2003. So they've got Klusner, they've got Pollock, they've got Callis, they've got Donald. Am I missing anyone else in that period that is going to bowl a lot for them? So
if you're India, would you not ask for a seamer and a shit or like a bench all rounder?
Is Andrew Hudson? Does Andrew Hudson tickle your fancy, my friend?
Considering I don't know who he is, probably not.
I don't know how many wickets he ever took, actually. Okay, so they've got Pollock, Antini, Callis, Bowyer, Adams, Donald, Hayward, Klusner. Oh, sorry, I said Andrew Hudson. I meant Andrew Hall, mate. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I did hear. I've heard of Andrew Hall's name before, yes.
I don't know if South Africa can make this trade.
Mm.
So from 2000 to the end of 2004, Antini bowls 1,200 overs for them, taking 134 wickets, right? The only person who bowls more than him is Pollock, right? And Nanti Hayward bowls another 360 overs in that period. I just don't think they have the depth to be able to give them two bowlers. So what's Andrew Hall's record in Test cricket? Have you got that in front of you?
Yeah, so he had a batting average of 26 and a bowling average of 36.
That's probably not getting it done for India, is it? Have a look, his first class
record. Did they do Hayward and Andrew Hall for Harbhajan?
You can't do that if you're India.
Nah, that's fair.
Sorry,
what were you asking?
I was going to say, can you do Antini and Hall? And then do you grit it out? But I just don't think if I'm
South Africa. Would South Africa do that? I wonder if it's just Harbhajan for Antini.
I just think looking at this now, if I'm South Africa, I say no. Yeah. I can't find a way in 2001 for me to justify getting rid of Antini when he's already the backbone of my attack. And also, Pollock's back is already bad by this point, right? Donald is not long for this world. And you don't know much about Nanti Hayward, but Nanti Hayward couldn't always hit the cut strip, right?
Hmm.
Now, you probably know that you have Andre Nell coming through. So you know you have at least one more, but no, I'm saying no. It's a good trade. I like the idea, but if I'm South Africa, I'm saying no. If I'm India, I'm saying yes.
All right, so let's do the second part of this comment then.
Yep.
Australia in 2009 gave up Brad Haddin, Chris Rogers, and Peter Siddle for Dwayne Bravo and Suleiman Ben and Bishop. Which Bishop is this?
Who is Bishop? Yeah.
Ben slash River. Did they have a bishop in 2008? Why am I not remembering?
Maybe they might have. Okay, so West Indies get Haddin, Rogers.
So the issue is batting was not an issue for West Indies at that point.
Biddle. Yep. And Australia get Bravo and let's say Ben. Okay. Mm.
Tulum and Ben is going to last a day in Australian cricket, by the way, before he gets the arse. Absolutely no hope of him making it in Australian cricket. Not for talent, but just for the sort of human being that Tulum and Ben was. Just was not made for Australian cricket. I don't think Australia's giving up Haddon.
I don't know. Can they? I don't know if they can afford to give up Siddle either at that period.
I think this is a no for Australia.
Yeah, definitely. Dwayne Bravo on his own.
There must be a trade that Australia have for Dwayne Bravo, but it can't be Haddon.
That is a very interesting trade.
Rogers is good. I think Rogers you give up if you're Australia because you're not assuming he's going to play it ever again. You give up.
Rogers and Siddle for Bravo is an interesting option, but I don't know. I wonder, as you said, they might just rate Siddle too much at that point.
I think they were really high on Siddle. And so I'm going to say that they don't do that. Let me just. What I need to do. Is what we need to do is find out. So we are saying that is in 2009, correct?
I once made a pair in a club game, which is almost impossible to do. But I have been obsessed with batting my entire life. And so I put that into my new book, The Art of Batting. Being that I'm not very good at that skill, I decided to talk to other people who were. So I hit up as many contacts as I could just to talk about batting. Rahul Dravid, Brian Lara, AB de Villiers, Kumar Sangakkara, Ross Taylor, Susie Bates, Nasser Hussain, Ian Chappell, and so many, many, many more. I wanted batters to talk about how they and their friends made runs, because that is the art of batting.
Yeah, so if Peter Siddle averages 32 from 2008 to 2009, so they have Johnson, Lee kind of stops playing by 2008. Yeah.
They've got Stuart Clarke, they've got Hilfenhaus.
They have a lot of bowlers who average 30. That might be the weakest fast bowling era they've had, by the way, in recent times.
And they weren't picking Rowan Harris.
I don't know if they can afford to give up Siddle, right?
Yeah. They weren't picking up Harris, picking Harris at that point either. So if we look from 2008 till the end of...
If you're West Indies, would you ask for like Rogers and Harris?
If you knew about Harris, but you'd have to be incredible to be able to work out Harris is even there because he's not even played for South Australia, right? Like he only starts playing for South Australia in 2008. I mean, maybe I watched him in 2008-09, Harris, and I would have picked him. So maybe if you're doing some deep scouting, if you can get Rogers and Harris, you have to take someone else though, don't you? Because you're giving up an all-rounder. So just having a look to see if there's anyone else on the board.
So Rowan Harris in 2008.
Oh, okay, I've got it.
49 wickets in 11 first-class games at a bowling average of 25.
45 wickets at 25.
In 11 tests.
Okay, I'm just looking for bowlers here. All right. I would give up, if I'm Australia, I would give up Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
I would give up, let's say Harris, because they have no plans for Harris at that point, right? So they're like, okay, fucking take him. And I give up Peter George, who's a 6'8" seam bowler. And if not Peter George, someone like McGoffin, one of those big, tall Australian bowlers, one of them that didn't play that much for Australia. So then West Indies get two seamers and they get an opening bat who can actually play. And Australia add Bravo. But does Bravo make the Australian team that much better?
Would they take him? Because their waters are on then, right?
They played Andrew McDonald in that period. Like that's literally when Andrew McDonald plays, right? So they're obviously thinking they need someone else. And Watto's not bowling as much by that stage. His injuries have started to play in. The problem is, are Watto and Bravo too similar in that they're both right arm, medium pace, medium fast seam bowlers? And then I think you can only do this if you think, I don't think Dwayne Bravo can bat six. So you have to bat Haddon.
You have Haddon six?
I would do that. I don't think they thought Haddon was good enough to bat six. But I could be wrong. Because I'm pretty sure McDonald bat six.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I'm losing three players I'm not planning on anyway, I'll take the punt on Dwayne Bravo and then hope he develops into something better. I think that's fair. But, yeah, I think I want Haddon. I wouldn't accept this trade as it is written. But if we change it around, I think I can convince myself of it.
Yeah. So I think these ones, so we have two comments of the similar lines, which is basically – currently, India would trade some of the backup batters for one of the West Indies frontline seamers.
Okay, so Sarfraz Khan for Jaden Seals. Here's my issue with that. Do India think he's not quick enough?
I don't know if they care.
Okay. If I'm the West Indies, I'm not asking for one batter then. I'm asking for two.
Yeah. Let's say both Sarfraz and Ishwaran. Why not?
Sarfraz and Ishwaran. Yeah. Is that who you were thinking?
Yeah. That's what he wrote. So I'm just going to assume.
I thought that was the second tweet, isn't it? That's the other one.
Yeah, I think they're similar lines on there. That's what I was thinking.
Gotcha. So, okay, yeah. If I can turn Jaden Seals into two 40 averaging test batters, I would do it in a heartbeat. Because I'm not sure
how... I don't
know
if I have insurance 40, is it?
You don't think he can average 40 in test cricket? 38?
Yeah. If he could average 40 in test cricket, he'd be playing.
No, not for India.
He would. He definitely would. He'd be in number three without any issues if he could average 40.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah. I think he can average high 30s to 40 in test cricket. So I make that trade. But I make that trade also because I don't know how Jaden Seals is going to age, right? Mm. So Jaden Seals has an incredible record at the moment, but he's a very one-dimensional cricketer in that he's very new ball and Duke's ball dependent.
Yeah, but I think if you're India, you'd just use him as a bench player. Like, you don't need to play him every test match.
No. For India, it's fine. But I'm saying if you're the West Indies, right? So he's got a bowling average of 24 with 89 wickets at 23 at the moment. I think that flatters him a little bit. But I think over the next couple of years, as he slows down, unless he becomes even more skillful, there's a chance he just doesn't take as many wickets anymore. And he ends up averaging 30 to 32. And so if I can turn Jaden Seals at this age right now into two international class batters, I think I'm a stronger side, all things considered, right? Yeah.
Also, West Indies need batting. As much as I'm a proponent of bowlers win test matches, the batting has been so useless that even I'm like, they need batting.
Okay. Like if I would try and drive a hard bargain and I'd maybe ask for a third batter. Tell me, who's an old 28 to... okay, here's one. I'll take Deepak Hooda.
Yeah.
30 years old.
Because we're just talking about him with Robbie Tate.
Yeah, because I was talking about him with Robbie Tate. 30 years old, right? And averages 46 in first class cricket, and he's never going to play test cricket for India.
Not a chance, yeah.
Done. Sold. Next. So I said Sidarshan Akshar Patel for Cam Green.
A lot of batters, I think.
Hey?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Do they need Akshar, though? That's what I'm wondering. My main question is, I think they need Sai. I can say they definitely need like a
If that was Shreyas Iyer, I think they take him. I don't think you take Sai Sudarshan.
He's another middle order batter.
If you're Australia, right, you need to know that whoever you're taking is definitely going to make red ball runs because they've got a lot of guys who average 30 in first class cricket already. So it's a punt on him as well. And Akshar's what, 32, 33?
He's 31, I think. So I got yelled at in the comments for not getting his age right. So yes. Okay.
So I think
my main question
I would
is,
want Shreyas Iyer and Akshar Patel for Cam Green.
But why again? Like, indeed, it's a middle order batter, is he not?
Yeah, you're right. They actually need a top order player, don't they?
I don't think Shreyas can bat top three. He definitely can't bat. In fact, I know he definitely can't bat top three in test cricket.
No, you're right.
Against the moving ball.
I don't think Australia's trading Cameron Green because I don't think they can replace him.
No, I agree. That's why. Because I also don't think they need an Akshar Patel because they have spinners, right? England don't have anything. So
I think there's something you can get for the Sai Sudarshan and Akshar Patel combo, but I don't think it's Cam Green.
Oh.
All right. No. The next one is Juve Jurel for Nundre Burger or Makbaka.
I wouldn't do it. Makbaka is interesting, but I wouldn't do it for Burger.
All right. I think, again, if I'm trading Juve Jurel, I want two bowlers back.
Let's say both of them. Why not?
I don't think you put both of those in the trade, though, because if you're South Africa, you're not giving up a 20-year-old left arm, 90-mile-an-hour bowler, are you, realistically? Hmm. So it would have to be Nundre Burger and, I don't know, Dane Patterson's probably too old. But
South Africa might actually like Sai Sudarshan at three.
Yeah, but don't you want Juve Jurel? I suppose they don't need the keeping, though, do they?
That's my question. I don't know if Juve Jurel is the right
choice. Sai Sudarshan for Nundre Burger.
I'd do it in a heartbeat without any hesitation.
So why for both teams?
I do from an Indian point of view. I don't know. Maybe even South African point of view. Because Burger is not in the first 11, is he? No. He's not close.
He's 30 years old.
What is he in the depth chart, though?
Yeah.
Like, what depth chart would he be in for South African teams?
I don't think he's particularly close, right?
Is he like the 8th or 9th best seamer at this point?
Yeah.
In test cricket?
I'd like that trade. I think that's the angle I would go there, is Sai Sudarshan put an Andre Berger. I like that.
Only argument is if you think Dhruv Zurel can bat at three.
Oh, no, no. But if I'm India, I'm not taking Andre Berger for Dhruv Zurel. Like, I'm not taking a 30-year-old guy who's only ever played three test matches. I'm sorry. I need more than that. And if I'm South Africa, I'm not doing Mapaka. I'm just not giving you him. Sorry. Not for Dhruv Zurel. Maybe for Jaiswal.
Is there another young 20-year-old seamer that they can trade for Osai Sudarshan who's not Mufaka? Maybe someone they don't rate as high.
I'm sure there is. Yeah, exactly.
But I can't remember him.
Yeah. Well, maybe would you take Marco Dwayne Janssen?
Is he any good?
He's an all-rounder.
If I'm India, I'm asking for someone who's at least close enough to the first 11. Like, maybe not someone from the first.
I'm not that sold on Sai Sudarshan if I'm South Africa, though. He doesn't average 40 in first-class cricket.
I agree. But I think if I'm India, I'm like, he's at least playing for us in the first 11. You can't give us your 15th best seam.
If they want...
that's what I'm saying.
If they want a 20-year-old... If they want a... I would give them two 20-year-olds who are not necessarily in my plans at the moment for Sai Sudarshan. Knowing that I have... Because I've got Janssen... And I've got Mapaka. I've got two young guys who are in my system. Mm. So I'll take the other two that are not.
How high did you rate David Dutbarkal?
Yeah, high. I think I'd go if I'm... I think I'd still go... How old's he now?
Good God. Why am I not remembering? I think he can't be more than like 26, can he?
Because there is an age element to all this, right?
So David, that's 25. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're comparable. I am probably still taking Sai, but neither of them are great first-class players, by the way. Do you know who is? Deepak Hooda.
Okay, so interesting trades, I think. So interesting trades, but no, I don't think... there have been better trades we've gone through today.
Yeah, what else you got? I should tell you I've got to pick up Clem in a minute. So I've got five more minutes, so I can do one more trade. So pick your favorite one here, and we'll have to do another one.
Oh, God.
That looks too long.
This does look too long. Wait. Yeah, this is an interesting one. So how about early 2000s, India tell Pakistan, we'll give you Dhoni for Umar Gul and Mohammad Sami.
Oh, my God. Okay. So early 2000s, Pakistan have Inzamam, Yusuf, Yunus.
Yes. Mizbah's about to come through late.
Yeah, but that's a bit further later. Yeah. So do you need a great number seven?
They need a keeper, don't they? Because I don't know how much they rate Kamran Akmal at that point. So it's interesting.
Well, Kamran Akmal couldn't have even been... That must have still been late career Moeen Khan, right? I'm trying to think. I know they had another wicketkeeper in there as well. I'm missing, but...
I know Kamran plays in the 2004 series.
Oh, does he? He's that early, is he? Because when does Moeen Khan finish? Yeah. He finishes in 2000.
So Kamran debuts in 2002.
Moeen Khan finishes in 2004. So yeah. So Moeen Khan, as a career, a lot of this depends on how much they rated Kamran Akmal. But Moeen Khan is a proper, one of the last sort of specialist keepers. He averaged 28 with the bat, right? 400s in 70 games. Handy and a really smart, interesting cricketer, but not frontline. So if you're getting Dhoni, that's a big upgrade. A lot of this depends on how much you rate Kamran Akmal, because I thought Kamran Akmal was quite highly rated early in his life. Mm. Are Pakistan, who are their seam bowlers then? Because you're aging out Waqar and Wasim. Are you really want to give up?
That's my main issue. That's a weak fast bowling era for Pakistan.
I'm saying no.
Like, Shoaib is injury prone. Yeah. So
I'm saying no. I can't do that. I can't make that. I like the idea of it, but I'm going to have to say no.
All right. So that's enough trades for today then, I think. So we will definitely come back for part three because
we've still got more in the chat.
We've still got more, right? Yeah. So thank you so much for listening up to this point, guys. I think make sure to bookmark goodareas.co. It's the one-stop shop for everything Good Areas. Again, just like with the last video, let us know any interesting trades you could think of, because we could, as I said, we could do like so many episodes on the show.
Oh my God. We might eventually just have to call it because we go nuts. But no, it's a lot of fun. We haven't actually done ODI or T20 ones yet either, but that's for another day.
Yeah. The other thing would be we do trades with the stipulation that ODIs and T20s still exist, because we're assuming they don't.
Yeah. I that might break our brains though, mate. I don't know if we're smart enough to do that.
All right. So thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll see you again next time. Bye.
thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.